Hello and welcome to another episode of Starside Chat. It is, what, week two is in the books for Zelda Tears of the Kingdom?
Yep.
So we're going to go over all of that. We don't mark time by actual holidays because it's Memorial Day weekend as we're recording this. We go by Zelda releases. So joining me as always is Aaron Capo.
Hello.
And I'm Zach Owens. And we're going to talk more Zelda this week, but we do have a Sony State of Play showcase to talk about.
Yeah, it was a packed show. We were talking about it a little bit before we started recording. It was a lot of stuff. It was, I mean, E3 level of stuff.
Yeah, so they've not been at E3 or done like an E3 showcase for some time now. And so
I think the last one was
the
Last of Us 2 one, wasn't it? Where they moved everybody into that barn?
Yeah, the infamous moving people between different areas for different games they wanted to show. But expectations were through the roof for this, just considering it had been so long. But also, like, we know about Spider-Man for this fall, but everybody was like, okay, well, what else do you have? And so
things that were on the table prior to starting this were obviously this Final Fantasy VII sequel with Rebirth or Revision or whatever the second one is called, the Wolverine game, which we haven't seen anything about
other than a short teaser, and then there was possibly Ghost of Tsushima 2.
Yeah, that was a rumor.
None of that stuff got shown, though.
Yeah.
So, bummer there. But they did show some new stuff, some stuff that we haven't seen before, and also, updates on stuff we did know was coming. And Microsoft, Phil Spencer, kind of took the opportunity after the showcase to tweet, like, an image graphic of, like, all the titles that they showed that were also coming to Xbox. I think the reason people were so down on the show overall was because there was not a lot of first party stuff.
Yeah.
So, but we can go through the stuff that stood out to us. We don't have to necessarily go through every single thing.
Well, and I have a theory about this. I have a lot of times on this podcast talked about my perfect formula for a press conference. And I think they had the ingredients to it, kind of, but they put them in the wrong order. I would have started out with the Metal Gear Solid Delta thing, because as I've said before...
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
The best way to start a press conference is to have a long, interesting trailer where everyone is like, what is this? What is this? And at the very end, you rack focus or, like, reveal what it is. The famous Halo Infinite one is one that comes to mind. If they had started with that, that would be a banger opener, as opposed to just putting it somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, in fairness, like, the game that did lead off the show was something new that we hadn't seen before, but, like, the trailer, like, lends itself so well to being that, like, mysterious, like, really exciting opener. So I don't know why they didn't put that at the front. And then also just randomly in there, they had a trailer for that Gran Turismo movie, and you're just like,
yeah, that was weird.
Why is this here?
Then I would have put the Sony, the Spider-Man 2 showcase in the middle, and then I would have ended with something big like either Marathon or the Sony handheld as the one more thing. And I would have had him say the words and one more thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like they had all the building blocks, but they put it in the wrong order, I feel like.
Yeah. I think they could have rearranged some of what they did show and maybe it would have gotten a better reaction than it did, but.
But I mean, let's talk about it. That's the thing that stood out to me most is the Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. There's also like a collection of re-releases coming up as well. So,
yeah, I bought this on, I think, PS4 or Xbox 360 or something because I wanted to get into Metal Gear Solid, but I just like... The controls of the first and second games were too obtuse for me to get into, so I ended up having to watch someone play them. Mm. Have you ever tried to play Metal Gear Solid 1 or 2?
No. The only one I've played, and I never finished it, was, I believe, 5? Because it was a PlayStation Plus title at one point.
I played the like short game that is a prequel to that game that I can't remember the name of. Ground Zeroes. And that I found to be very fun, but I never got five. I watched someone play a lot of it. These games I appreciate, and I realize that they're very cool, but like I said, the first and second games, I just like could not wrap my head around the controls, because they're those like fixed angle controls of like old Resident Evils. And also they're just like, some of the things you have to do in that game are really crazy. It's very cool game design, but it is, like I said, a little obtuse and difficult to wrap your head around if you're not like, I mean, I didn't want to just Google everything when I was playing it to figure out how to do stuff.
Well, and I have to say, I didn't think about it before this like reveal, but like, as you know, games deserving a remake, like re-release, sort of in the vein of like what we've seen from like Resident Evil and Final Fantasy, like the Metal Gear Solid franchise, like obviously,
yeah,
you could go back and remake those and re-release them for like a new audience, and it would be like just a perfect series to do that with. So
it's such a weird thing though, because like they've excommunicated Kojima.
Yeah, there is
so
that.
Like I mean, as long as they, the greatest thing about those games, I feel like, is how weird they get, because Kojima is just like this crazy prophet who's making all these weird things happen. But I mean, they already have the outline, so if they just like stick to that outline, I don't know, maybe I'm interested to see what this looks like. It was only a cinematic trailer, so who knows, not even a release date or like an estimate, so who knows how far along this is or like what even the deal is with this. But this is something we probably won't see again for, I would guess we probably won't see this again for a year.
Yeah, probably not. Why don't you run through some of your other highlights of the show, and then I'll say some stuff that I think are maybe on my list of highlights.
So, you and I both have a love-hate relationship with Destiny, but we initially loved it, and we're all about it. We've talked a lot about how Taken King was very good. Destiny 2 was a little bit of a stumble, and then they kind of got better, then they kind of got worse. Now we basically don't play Destiny anymore. But I still respect them as a company, just because it is... Sometimes I do watch gameplay from Destiny. I'm like, man, I do kind of want to jump back in, but I'm not going to. They have revealed their new IP, which is an old IP. Their first game, Marathon, which was on Max back in the day. Single-player game back then... But now it seems to be an extraction shooter, maybe, or it's definitely got some sort of multiplayer element, which I am not sure about. I would have preferred, I think, I don't know if they're trying to do another Destiny clone.
I was going to say, it seems like they're just swinging from one game of service to another one.
Yeah. I mean, that's their bread and butter now. But it does have a crazy cool aesthetic, which is interesting to me.
Yeah, so, I mean, the aesthetic did look pretty cool.
They have, like, I feel like Destiny 2 suffered because they were in the cage that is the lore and gameplay they created of Destiny 1. And Destiny, I maintain, was always the best in its first year. Or maybe, like, first and second year when Taken King came out. But if they're building this from the ground up, it could be a great game of service for about a year or 2 years. If that's the case, I'll be on board for the first year or 2 years until it, like... starts to crumble under its own weight like Destiny did.
Yeah,
but I'm all about this. I want to see... We didn't see any gameplay, but it's got a really cool vibe, which I'm all about.
I can see them not wanting to take on another, like, 10-year-long marathon of a, you know, game franchise. I can see them just being like, okay, here's a thing that we can have running as just like a multiplayer thing that we can, once we launch it, we can basically have like a skeleton team keeping that running, and maybe we'll throw some new content at it now and then. But
I don't know the lore of the original Marathon game. I get it mixed up with System Shock, although I don't think it's the same thing. Something that's not in our show notes, but I guess since we're talking about Bungie, they revealed a cutscene for The Final Shape, which is, I think, they're calling it the culmination of their 10-year plan for Destiny, that like light versus dark saga. So that could you know, signal a big shift. Cade Six is back. I can't tell if it's Nathan Fillion voicing him or not.
We suspected that that would happen at some point. It took him a little longer than I thought it would to bring him back, but he is now coming back before the very end. So I guess that makes sense.
I would be into them completely wiping the slate. Like, all I've wanted for a while with Destiny is to just, like, go back to zero. Like, it actually got me to play it a little bit when they brought back the Cosmodrome, just because I missed Destiny 1 so much. And if this, like, if the culmination of 10 years Light versus Dark ends and they're like, okay, the game is completely different now, let's go back to zero, that's interesting to me, and that would get me to maybe dip my toes back into Destiny. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to keep milking it until it's totally dead, but I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. I think with these things, you have to, like, give it sort of an extended break in order for, like, people to start becoming nostalgic for it before you bring it back again. So I can see them, like, letting this last sort of chapter they're releasing play out and then be like, okay, we're done with Destiny for a while. Let's do Marathon for a while. And then, like, in 10 years' time, they'll be like, hey, remember Destiny? It's coming back, but we're, like, starting from a clean slate, and we're going to do new and different things with it.
I would like that. I would be into that.
Yeah. I mean, it could not be the very end forever of Destiny, but, like, you know, it'll go away for a while.
Another thing that was kind of Marathon-esque, I think, is this Fair Games, where the S is a dollar sign. This is another, it seems, extraction shooter that's the flavor of the day now.
Yeah, we're getting too many of these, I think.
So this one is, at first I thought it was some sort of thing in the Watch Dogs universe, because it's like young people. They have those masks. Yeah, they got the masks, they're hacking or whatever, but it's not. It seems to be third person, at least based on, I'm guessing that because they have those big, like, guns that they're toting around. And it's like they can, like, shoot cables and, like, grapple onto things. But I guess it's like a thing where multiple crews are trying to heist a thing, but it's all, like, you know, each crew is for themselves, so you can, like, mess up another crew. We didn't see any gameplay of this.
The, like, messaging in the trailer was super weird because it was like, oh, we got to take down these horrible capitalists. We hate capitalism and we want to destroy all of that and we're going to rob from them. And then they're like, oh, but here's another crew doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Let's kill them.
It doesn't make any sense.
We're not even going to, like, team up and tear everything down. No. Kill everyone.
I'm not super into this. Like, I have a long thought that I would be into some sort of extraction shooter, but I've never tried it. Like, I have heard that Tarkov is very hard to learn because it's just, like, very dense. Like, you have to, like, load bullets into magazines and stuff and, like, keep track of, like, what's in all of your satchels. But I don't know. I didn't like the aesthetic of this super a lot.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It seems super generic looking to me.
It looks like Saints Row almost to me.
It looked, like you said, a little bit like Watch Dogs as well.
Yeah.
And it just, like, nothing about this really stood out to me. Like, they always hype up Jade Raymond, and this is, like, her studio that's making this. But like you, I have just, like, from a distance seen this whole, like, infatuation with extraction shooters, and I'm just like, I don't know that I'm into that. So I'm definitely not sold on this game.
Well, here's something else I'm not sold on. Foam Stars.
The laughing stock. I'm going to just guess that this is going to last for about a year before they shut off the servers.
How crazy. I mean, it's such a Splatoon clone. It's like not even trying to hide it. They 100%. Basically could be like fish. I'm surprised they didn't make them fish.
Yeah, I think what they were trying to do was, like, what if we had an art style similar to Fortnite, but we had our own, like, Square Enix had their own Splatoon clone that, so the people on PlayStation and Xbox that like Splatoon but don't have a Switch can play. And it's just so, like, weird. What is that Venn diagram? Like, is anybody looking for that type of a thing? But whatever.
Other things that stood out to me, the Sword of the Sea is the thing by the Journey creator, which looks very much Journey.
Yeah.
I don't really know what the gameplay is going to be, if it is just going to be similar to Journey where you're just trying to get to a destination and then something happens when you get to the destination. They did talk about their handheld, which is only remote play, so it's not something you can take like with you.
Yeah, you can already do this on your phone. They're just like making a dedicated handheld for people.
I think it's like an 8-inch OLED screen, and the sides of it, I mean, arguably it does look fun to play. It has like a pretty ergonomic design where the sides of it are just two sides of a PlayStation 4, 5 controller.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems like it would be very comfortable to hold in comparison to something even like the Steam Deck or the Switch.
Yeah. But that's interesting. I don't think they... Did they give a timeline or a price on that? I don't think so.
It was such a brief showing. I don't remember.
I don't think we even got a real name for it. They just called it Project Q.
Yeah. It's probably still a ways out, so maybe they just don't have that information yet.
And then the longest thing was the thing they ended on, the Spider-Man 2 showcase. I have never played the original Spider-Man for PS4/5. There's a PS5 remake. Or that Miles Morales, which everyone says is great. But this is the next, like, blockbuster game by Insomniac, Spider-Man 2. And it seems like you play as Peter Parker and Miles Morales going back and forth. And also there's Venom is in the mix.
And well, Kraven, so you're Spider-Man Hunter. With the black suit.
Yeah.
And eventually Venom. I assume he will, like, it'll be a thing where he has to, like, they're like, you're not yourself, Peter, or whatever. Yeah. And he has to, like, get rid of it, and then it goes to, what's his name? And Venom arrives.
Eddie Brock.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, it's a spectacle. Like, watching this trailer, I was like, man, they spent money on this. Like, it is, everything is going to be huge set piece after huge set piece. Like, what did you play the original Spider-Man?
I haven't played any of them. Like you, I've heard that they're great, but I'm just, like, not a huge Spider-Man guy, so
yeah, me too.
I haven't bothered to play them, but I think people are going to play this and love it, and it's going to be up there for a lot of people in terms of like game of the year discussion, but not something I'm super looking forward to personally.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I can see that they're great games, and it is interesting to have the like playground of New York City and be able to, like, you know, web swing around and stuff.
I totally get the appeal of it. It's just, I don't know if it's something I really care that much about.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. But those are my things that stood out to me. What about you?
Yeah, they showed off Helldivers 2 as a co-op shooter that looks kind of like Starship Troopers, which made me a little bit think of that original Ark Raiders trailer. You remember that?
Except
instead of like drones, you're fighting like big bugs of some sort. And I had never played the original Helldivers, which I hear is more of like a top-down, almost strategy type of a game.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Maybe I'm wrong about that, but a really different take. I have to say, I'm way more interested in a co-op shooter than I am an extraction shooter.
Yeah.
So hopefully they don't pull the rug out from underneath this and be like, oh, by the way, we're switching gears to also make this an extraction shooter. But I don't know. Interesting. And then that Phantom Blade Zero, which looks kind of like Ghost of Tsushima, but not. I thought that was maybe the coolest thing I saw at the entire show. So I'm very curious to see more about that game. And then the Plucky Squire, we already know about that, but I want to play that game, and so they showed a little bit more of that, and it looks great.
Yeah, a little bit more story.
Yeah, and then there was a game called Ultros, which is like this super colorful like Metroidvania-style game.
Oh, yeah, that did look really cool. Yeah. I really liked the art style of that.
Yeah, I liked the art style, so I'm looking forward to seeing more about that game as well. But that was sort of the highlights for me. I guess there was this game that I think is maybe a little bit of like a joke for people, but Immortals of Avium. It's just the weird hand power shooter. I want to say like some ex Call of Duty people worked on it. And so like the like movement and shooting should feel pretty good. But story wise and character wise, it seems really dumb to me.
Yeah.
But it could be like one of those games that is like fun to play, but kind of dumb and doesn't review particularly well, but people kind of consider it a little bit of a hidden gem. It could be one of those type of games. But
it definitely looks beautiful. Like, they're really pushing the PS5 engine with all like the particle effects and stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, a lot of like kind of interesting stuff, but nothing like mind blowing, I thought, from this showcase.
Now, I haven't looked at to see. Every year, someone will like very helpfully make that like grid of press conferences with like different colors for the different time zones. And I have not looked up what that is this year, but we're quickly approaching the time when we're going to get a number of back-to-back press conferences. We've got Summer Games Fest opening night. There's the Microsoft one, and then immediately following that, there's the Starfield one. I don't know if a Devolver is going to do one this year.
I bet they will.
I would love for them to, but as far as I know, they haven't announced one yet.
Yeah.
And then I don't think Nintendo has announced anything yet either, but they are always ones where they'll announce it like the day before.
So. Yeah, exactly. You just never know.
But we're only a couple weeks away from more of these press conferences.
Yeah, it's an exciting time as you get into June, you know, like more of these big showcases are coming. So, and
true.
I forget when Summer Games Fest opening night is.
I think we're less than 2 weeks away.
But
I want to say that it's maybe on the 8th.
But that's like the big kickoff, and then like it's really going to be like a lot of showcases after that. So
yeah.
Exciting times ahead. Games out this week, though. Did you get a chance to see any of this Planet of Lana game?
I'm going to download it and play it, but I'm still so deep into Zelda, I can't really deal with it right now. But it looks great.
I do want to play it, but
I think it's reviewing well as well.
Yeah, I saw Game Informer had given it like a 7-something, so it's doing fairly well. It's not like up there was something like Inside probably, but it's like reviewing like solidly. And I hear the soundtrack is very, very good.
I am excited to check it out, but
I love the art style. I think it looks beautiful. And then the next game on the polar opposite spectrum, Lord of the Rings Gollum. Have you seen anything about this and how
terrible
the reviews
are? A game
for
no one by seemingly no one, because there's a lot of glitches. The font, I've heard a lot of people complain that they've just like left in placeholder Arial font as game UI, so it just looks like, I don't know. So the company who released it put out a statement like, "Hey guys, sorry about all this." I don't think they're apologizing for making the game, but they are apologizing that it's a little buggy. But yeah, this game did not need to exist. I don't know how it got greenlit, and it's a laughingstock.
Yeah, this is like one of those horrible like movie tie-in games is what it seems like to me, even though there's not a movie tie-in for it.
I don't know what, I literally don't know how this got made.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know. It's very surprising that this game even exists and not in a good way. So
RIP to Gollum.
Yeah. And I mean, it will probably be the worst reviewed game of the year.
Yeah.
Unless I'm forgetting something. I know Redfall didn't review well.
Yeah, I think it's
there was another
Redfall,
one that
though.
I can't think of. But yeah, I think this is worse than Redfall and whatever the other game that I can't think of that reviewed really poorly.
Should we now talk about Tears of the Kingdom?
Yeah, it's time to get back into Tears of the Kingdom. So I guess, where are you at right now?
So we were talking a little bit before we started recording. I took a couple days off this week to see a concert with some friends. And so I had some extra time off of work to play Tears of the Kingdom, and I took advantage of it. I should have counted the number of hearts I have. I got up to the second full bar of stamina. And so, like, I have the original circle that you get, and then I filled out the first one outside of that. And then I was just like, I think I'm good on stamina for a while. I'm going to focus on hearts. And I have a good number of hearts. I haven't started the second row yet. But I have a good number of hearts. I have completed the Wind Temple and the Fire Temple. And right now, I just spent a bunch of time unlocking all of the upgrade fairies, the great fairies. And now I'm just sort of like, I also upgraded the Purapad, so I have the ability to like find shrines. So I've kind of just been like going around. There's two areas I still haven't unlocked the Skyview Tower for, so I've been unlocking those and just kind of like wandering around, seeing if I can find extra shrines or just interesting things. But so far I have not made my way. I don't know which I'm going to do next, the water temple or I don't even know what the other element is. Electricity temple?
Yeah, that's a good question. I actually don't know. Like, I feel like everybody has been talking about the Wind Temple and the Fire Temple, but people are not as far as those other two temples just yet.
They push you. I didn't know which one I was going to do second. I mean, they definitely push you to the Wind Temple in a lot of ways. And then I wasn't sure what I was going to do second. And then I got back to the main town and there was a Goron there. And he was like, somebody was like, you don't know where Goron City is? He's like, yeah, I forgot or whatever, but it's crazy because like Goron City is like cooled now and you don't really need fire gear. You can just go up there and hang out. And so I was I guess I should go to the Goron City next. And so that's what I did.
I have to say those two make the most sense for me to start out with because their companion abilities are so useful.
Yeah.
Like especially the wind one when you're just like, you know, skydiving or you're paragliding, you can just get around faster that way. But also the Goron guy, like whenever you're in like a cave or something, you happen upon those like breakable walls, instead of having to like break all your weapons, trying to break those apart or waste all your bombs, blowing them apart, you can just shoot that guy at the wall and break him and you don't have to waste anything.
Yeah, I wish I had done that before. So a cool thing that happens when you can defeat, I guess maybe just the first temple, whichever one it is, you go back to the main zone and there's that like little bunker and there's like a statue missing and you have to like go investigate it, which involves a lot of blowing up cave rocks. And I wish I had waited to get the Goron guy to do that because I wasted a ton of like bomb arrows getting through that. But it's, I mean, there's a good reward for that. You get like the soldier armor.
Oh, really? I don't think I've done that yet because I don't have that. I'm in a pretty similar spot.
Yeah, where are you at?
Progression wise, I've done the wind and fire temples, and I have I think I've maxed out stamina. That's just like the two circles around the like main circle that you start out with. So technically three circles. I don't know how many. I didn't count the number of hearts I have, but I am also not like I'm still on the first line of hearts. And then I did complete all of the great fairy quests, and I completed the gazette quests.
Oh, wow.
So I do have the frog armor, which makes it so that you can climb up wet surfaces.
Oh, and both of us have the master sword.
Yeah, we did get the master sword, but we got it in different ways. Tell me about how you got it.
So I went to... basically, the first thing I did when I started exploring in Hyrule, in like Greater Hyrule, was like, I want to go check out the Korok Forest because that's where I bet Hestu is, and I got a bunch of Korok seeds, and also that's where I got the Master Sword last time. So I made my way there on a very, very roundabout way because you get distracted by everything in this game.
Yeah.
But last game, the way to get into Korok Forest was to, I think, just have a torch and the flame would lead you in the direction you need to go. But that was not working for me. So I was like, okay, maybe I need to find Hestu first. Maybe something else needs to happen. Have you gotten into the Korok Forest yet?
I haven't even gone there yet, no.
I won't reveal the way you get into it, but it's very interesting. And then I got in there and you have to do like a little mini boss kind of a thing. And then I talked to the Deku Tree and he was like, hey, thanks for doing all that. Also, you're probably looking for that sword, aren't you? Well, I know where it is. I'll put it on your mini map. So he puts it on your map and it's like moving. And I was like, oh, it's, maybe it's on like a moving sky island, but then I tracked it and sure enough, it's on spoiler, but it's on the head of that dragon. And it was a very cool segment. And thankfully, I had enough stamina. You needed 2 full bars of stamina to get it. But I got it, and it was great. But I guess that's not how you got it?
No. So I went around and collected all the tiers.
I've done a couple ones of those.
Dragon, whatever they're called.
Geoglyphs?
Yeah, that are scattered all around the map. I went and did all of those because you get a little cutscene that sort of adds to the story every time you collect one of those. And it was like getting really interesting. And I was like, okay, I want to just like find out more about the story and like what's going on with the characters and everything. And I don't want to spoil it for you because I think you should definitely go see that. But it like getting the Master Sword from having tracked down all of those is, I think, more satisfying than just having somebody mark it on your map. So definitely go do that because it will add a lot of like interesting context.
I will, for sure. Does Impa meet you at every one of those, or do you're just doing it on your own?
No, you're mostly... Well, I did it on my own. I don't... There is, like... You'll work with Impa on a little bit after that first one. She'll, like... You'll sort of go down into this, like, kind of cave-like
structure. Yeah, I did. I found that map room.
Okay, yeah. You find the map room, and then beyond that, I don't think she's at any of the other ones, but I also just like looked up the locations and then just like shot myself out of a Skyview tower or jumped off of a sky island and landed where I needed to be. But that's definitely like a very cool way to do it because you find out about that dragon and it's very cool to learn about. So I know, like, you mentioned, I think at the Deku Tree, to get in there, isn't there, like, Gloom Hands that you have to fight?
Yeah, so the mini-boss is some of those Gloom Hands, but the, like, twist on it is that you're in a very confined space. Like, I've been able to kill about 3 or 4 of those Gloom Hands, but mostly that's been because I can be very far away from them or, like, up on top of something to just like bomb or them or whatever. But in this one, there's not really a way to run away from them, unfortunately. So you just have to like very aggressively figure out a way to like get them down super quickly, which I did by I don't know how much of you used those Lizalfo tails, but those are great, especially ice Lizalfo tails. If you put those onto a stick or a staff, or frankly, even the Master Sword.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you can equip them to the Master Sword.
They, like, whip out super far and also freeze stuff, which is great for those Gloom Hands, because you can just freeze all of them in one go and then wail on them, switch to something else so that the ice starts to charge up again, and then go back to, like, something more powerful. But that's how I ended up being able to do it, is just, like, freezing them with a Lizalfo Ice Tail staff. And then going back to, I would just like spin around with a big club until they all broke. But that was, I mean, you probably could get far enough away from them to bomb them, but there's also like a bunch of gloom on the ground as well. So you really have to be careful where you step.
You need that gloom armor.
Yeah, that was helpful. I only have the chest piece of that so far.
Yeah, so do I.
But I need to find more of those like brokers down in the depths. You said you did more of the depths now.
I did, and one of the things that I found as like a really good tip for exploring the depths, but also like finding shrines, is I didn't realize it right away, but each of the light roots are underneath a shrine.
Yes.
So if you find a shrine on the surface, you can basically like toggle down to the depths map and then mark that exact spot, and when you go down there, you'll be able to find a light root. And vice versa, if you're exploring the depths and you find a light route, you can, you know, pop back up to the normal map and mark that spot for a shrine. And so that's a really useful way to find stuff. But yeah, I did a lot more exploring the depths because I wanted to upgrade my battery. Because I have started using that sort of air bike design that people have been talking about, where you basically put 2 fans, one in front of the other with a... control stick in between them, and you kind of angle the fans a little bit. And I've basically been using that to traverse everywhere. I've like stopped using horses. I've stopped climbing. I basically don't do any of that. I just use this air bike thing to get around. And when you're in the depths, you can actually throw one of those like bright blooms on the front of it, and then it basically lights up your path, so you will not just be exploring the dark without knowing where you're going. I also found there's an armor set that it has like basically lights on it.
Yeah, I have the chest and the feet for that, but I don't have the head yet.
I don't have the feet. I just have the chest for that. And incidentally, going around to the Great Fairies and upgrading some of my armor, somehow that ended up being the one that had I had the most resources to upgrade. So it's like my highest upgraded armor piece. So when I get into like a tough fight, I have to equip this goofy looking light shirt, and it is very funny. But
you know, speaking of vehicles, I have sort of moved on from, well, I still use the air bike a good amount to get like Koroks to their friends, but if I'm just going over straight surfaces, I found there was a TikTok that showed me how to build an even quicker conveyance.
Really?
You know those wheels? So there's a couple different wheels you can get, Zonai devices. There's those wheels that like have kind of an upper part that is a dragon's head.
Yeah, the small wheels.
Yeah. If you put two of those right next to each other, and then two of those right next to each other behind those two, and then a control thing on top, so you basically have a very, very small four-wheeled device with nothing in the middle, that thing goes fast and is very maneuverable and takes like very little battery. Like I have two full batteries right now, and the air bike I can only go so far on, but with this thing it will just go and go, and it's like you can almost turn on a dime, and it's like very quick. So if I'm ever in like high, like not going over mountains, I'll pop one of those things out and just start riding, and it's great.
That's good to know. Yeah, and I do like if you pop one of those big Zonai charges while you're in midair on the air bike, you basically get a little bit of window of time where it doesn't consume battery, which is very nice. So like I'll let it drain down my battery, which I have like 2 2/3 battery. I don't have quite full 3 batteries yet, but while you're in the air, you'll let that drain down to almost the very end, and then you use one of those charges, and it basically almost completely refills your battery and gives you a little window of time where it isn't. So you can go a long way doing that.
So I have started doing the Gazette quests, but I've not fought and defeated a Gliok yet. Have you?
I have not either. I got a chest piece that's like supposed to give you resistance to electricity. Oh. And I started upgrading that. I was like, I'm going to need this eventually when I go to take on that shock Gliok or whatever it's called. But I have not taken on any of those. Have you fought a Lynel yet?
No. I'm still afraid to do that. Yeah. I've seen way more of them in the depths, and I have just like steered clear of them. But I know that I need to. I got a quest from someone who was like, I really want to see a Lynel. Yeah. Sword or whatever, so I know I have to do it eventually.
Yeah, I have seen a couple of them, but I have avoided them each time.
I have the full set of Yiga armor.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I have also been running into them more. Like one of the Gazette quests is that lady who's just like, oh yeah, my friend's over there, and then eventually it's just like those Yiga guys. But
Not to spoil those quests, there's a handful of those.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's more incoming.
I assume that there's something I can do. I know where the Yiga headquarters is from last time, so I assume I just have to go to the desert and like I'll be able to get in there and do something, but I have not even seen the desert. I have not even gone into that area yet.
I do have the full map unlocked, and I did go down because there's a one of the horse places. Why am I blanking on the name of it?
Stable?
Yeah, stable. There's a stable down just sort of towards the entrance of where you would start going to get to Gerudo Town. Or,
yeah.
No, that's not the one I'm thinking of. The desert one in the southwest Is that Gerudo Town? Yeah, it is.
I think so, yeah.
I'm confusing that with the Goron one, because they both start with G. But either way, there's one there too that you'll have to do eventually. But so I have unlocked the full map, but I have a lot more shrines to do. Do you know how many shrines you've done?
No. Well. Maybe 60-ish.
It says on the loading screen, so
yeah, I'm trying to remember what it said last time it was loaded. I think mine, I'm at 66.
Mine is at like 77, 78.
Yeah, so you're a little bit far. Yeah, well, that you have way more stamina than me.
Yeah, but it's I really like that you can sort of find the shrines by finding the light roots. I thought that was a cool
thing. Yeah, that is very cool.
I did finally lose a Korok. And it has been a blood moon, so I should go back and check and see if he returned, because that was a question we had last episode.
Yeah.
But so I was trying to, like, I found one of those Koroks that's like, hey, my friend's up there, help me get back to him. And the only objects I had around, and this was before, I think maybe before I had auto build, but I the only objects were like a wooden plank and then like a hot air balloon. And so I tried to, I think I didn't have any of those like flaming Zonai heads, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the device. The flame emitters.
So I was like, I'm going to have to do this with a campfire. And so I tried that, and surprisingly it did work to get me up to the top before I could like get over to where I could safely land. The whole thing burst into flames and fell down, and the Korok went into a pretty quick moving river and just like went away. And I was like, well, that guy's gone forever unless he gets reset. So not very good.
Speaking of quick moving rivers, has there been a favorite or an interesting shrine that has stood out to you?
Yeah, I mean, there have been a lot of fun ones. In fact, I was going to suggest it would be cool if they, even as like a DLC, if they did like all shrines, because a lot of people just love the little puzzle rooms that they create and are just like, okay, now use all the abilities you have to try to solve this. I did one recently where it's like you have to pick up those big balls and just roll them down a thing until they hit a target. And the first one's pretty straightforward. It's like one ball and there's like a ramp that goes down right to it. And then after that, it's like, okay, well now you have two balls to try this with, but instead of a flat platform that just kind of like ramps down to it, there's like an edge to it. So it's almost like a pyramid going down to it. And you have to figure that out. I was like, okay, I know. I can just stick these two together and place the midpoint on the pyramid part at the top and let that roll down. And then there's another one. It gets more tricky after that because it's like the ramp that goes down to it is curved. And so it sort of curves around to it. And you have three balls, but they're all three different sizes. And so you have to figure out how to put those together and have them roll at just the right angle to get to it, which was interesting.
I did one that I couldn't solve correctly.
Really?
That was it's a rails one. So there's like a rail and you get like a piece, like a stone rectangle that you can like set on these rails and then it will slide through them. And that's the first part. And you're like, okay, I can put one of these onto the rails and slide and that's fine. I didn't do that though, because I just shield surfed, because you can grind on rails.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that. The second one was a little more complicated, but again, I could do it by just shield surfing. And then the third part was you kind of corkscrew up, which was, you can't shield surf that way. They give you a bunch of fans, but I could not figure out. It's like two different sets of rails that then converge onto one set of rails. And they give you a bunch of rectangles and a bunch of fans. So I think you have to create something that like I actually don't know what to do. But the way that
I figured that one out.
But well, yeah, the way ahead. The way I did it was I connected those two pieces of rectangle together, and then I put a fan facing up on the very far end, and then I ultra-handed it as close as I could to the end, and then I brought it back and did recall and hopped on, and then got super close to the end, and then paraglided up the fan thing and just landed at the end, because I could not engage with that rail part. I did not know what to do.
That's interesting. Yeah, no, I put the metal plank down, and then I just like put three of the other metal planks like on like standing up, like, you know, one right after the other, sort of next to each other, and they sort of fit between the rails. And so it goes up the first like wide rail, and then when it converges into one, it's still like the three that went down sort of stayed on there, and it held because they were going down through the rails, that it sort of held the thing on there. And
so I made
a little bit like an H if it didn't have the two top ones, and instead it had one in the middle.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And so it was just like, it was basically a T, but with like three lines down instead of one. And yeah, so I rode that all the way across.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
It took me a while to figure that out. I did try that multiple times and fail. And it's like, what am I doing wrong? And then I was like, maybe if I have planks downward, they will like hold it on.
So I did another one that maybe you've done where it's one of the ones where it starts you with nothing, which I love those ones because it makes you very creative.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one where it was like a tiered, it was like three tiers of lazy rivers. And on each of those lazy rivers, there is like a platform. There's like a raft with a pole going up, and then a platform and a guy with an arrow of a different element on that platform.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't give you a bow. So I was like, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. I would get up and I would just like try to throw my stick at the first one, but then everyone would be alerted and start shooting arrows at me. And then I realized what you have to do. Maybe there's another way to do this, but I just ran around ultra handing the rafts out from under everybody, and then they would just fall in the water and die. And that was very satisfying to do. And then at the very top, there's a big boss you have to fight. But by that time, I had collected enough materials that I could create a usable weapon. But that one was very fun that I did yesterday.
Yeah, that one, I got onto the first one and climbed all the way to the top and took out the first guy with my melee weapon. And then was able to get a bow from that guy. And then there are like explosive things. They might be barrels, I'm not sure.
Yeah, at the very top.
Yeah, I was able to use those and fire them at the other platforms that are going around the different lazy rivers and just blow up the entire structure, and the guy would fall in the water and die.
Nice.
And then of course I had explosives to take out the big, like, difficult guy to kill in the middle.
How you doing on those bubble frogs?
The bubble gems. I got a good number of those. I have taken them to the guy and he eats them and gives me something for them. But yeah, every time I'm in a cave, I make a point of looking for those to make sure I get them. And fortunately, the map will always have a check mark every time you find one of the bubble gem or bubble frogs.
That's very handy.
So yeah, very handy to have that checked off. What about you?
I'm doing pretty good. I just got the pants of the outfit that he gives you.
I forget which outfit it is.
It's the one where if you wear it, you take rupee damage instead of heart damage.
Oh, yeah. I forget how many of those I have. I might only have one, and I don't know if it's the pants or not.
I wish that there was some sort of checkmark system for the guy holding up the sign quest, because
yeah.
I have stopped running into him, and there's definitely more of him, but I don't know where to go to find him.
Speaking of which, I've actually been to Tarrytown and met the president.
Yeah.
And there's like a nice sort of touching little side story there where after you meet that president guy, he's like super bummed that his kid is like going off to school in Gerudo Town, and like really far away. And it, like, if you sort of help the kid get over to where the president is working at like this construction site, because like Tarrytown is all about building these sort of boxy like makeshift homes, basically, which is really interesting. And so if you help him get down there, and they get to hang out a little bit, and then they do like, have you done this side quest?
No, not yet. I have been to Tarrytown, and I did the crystal shrine that's right there, but I think I was on my way to that Akala Research Center, so I only stopped there briefly.
Well, basically, it turns into this like really touching little side story of like, you know, parents trying to soak in their like final moments with their kids before they like move out and head off to school and all of that. And then like parents having to sort of adjust to a new life after their kids have moved out. It's like really not something you expect to to have for like a game like this, but it was really nice. Do you want to talk more about the temples?
Because yeah, so I was like, oh, every temple is going to be in the sky, is what I'm thinking. And that was the case for the wind temple, but not for the fire temple.
Yeah. So it is crazy that basically they give you the tools with, you know, the Zonai devices and auto build to basically trivialize the puzzles of these temples. I did the wind temple as it expected me to or wanted me to.
Right.
But when I got to the fire temple, I basically just flew around on that air bike.
Oh, instead really?
Of using the rails.
I was worried I was going to get lost, so I just stayed with the rails.
Well, and there were so many times where it was like, you need to fire, what's his name? The Goron.
Yunobu.
One of those. At like those rock things to break them apart. But if you're not like directly in line with it, you miss. He'll like fire down instead of straight across. And so it got to a point where I was like, if you build the air bike, he will automatically just jump on the front of it and you can aim him.
Yeah.
And so I got to a point where I was like, I'm not going to mess around at all with trying to build a platform that I can stand on and hope that the guy follows me. Because the other part of it is, like, I did that a little while at first where I tried to make a platform so I would have a straight shot at the rock thing, but he would not join me on the platform. So I was like, well, I don't know how to get you up here to shoot you across. So I just eventually was like, I'm done with this. I'm just going to fly around on my air bike and shoot him directly at the stuff. And so I basically got rid of the need to do any of the like platforming or using the rails at all. And it was much easier to do that way, I have to say.
I wish there was a way. I mean, there's so many, we've talked about this, how like the whistle button doesn't need to exist, but also one of the things on the wheel of abilities you can select is the map. And like, I don't know why that's there either. Yeah. And I wish one of those was just like sage ability or whatever, because like it's the air one, Tulin, is great because that like always when you're in the air, you have the option to just use him. But to activate the Goron, I have to like go find him and like talk to him. And I wish I could just like press down on the D-pad or like select him from the ability wheel. I think that would be way better. But instead, you just have to like go talk to him.
It should definitely be the case where each of the companions are tied to one of the face buttons, and then you just hold down on the D-pad and you press
the
button.
That's the solution. Yeah,
that would have been so much better, because like you, I got so frustrated so many times trying to shoot the Goron companion at a rock face, but I had to like walk around to find him.
Yeah,
and sometimes he would just disappear. I was like, where is he? Does he exist anymore? But I do like that they are basically, they're like, what were they called in Elden Ring? You know, you could have like the mimic tier.
Oh, the summons?
Yeah, they're basically like having a summon with you at all times, because they also fight and like draw aggro from enemies. So you can, like, there have been times where like I would be talking to somebody and they'd be like, oh, actually, I'm one of the Yiga Clan guys, let's fight. And then I would just like run around and those two would just fight them and kill them. And I didn't have to do anything. And it was great. It is going to feel a little crowded once all four of them are there. Like, I know you can turn them off in the menu.
Yeah.
And then reactivate them when you need them again. But I kind of just want to walk around with my army.
Yeah.
My army of guys.
I went down south and I was going to do that Lelurian village where it's been run over by pirates.
Yeah.
I tried to do that like twice, and in fairness, I wasn't using like puff shrooms or anything or any kind of like advanced combat tactics, but I kept dying. And I was like, man, this would be way easier if I just like build my army a little bit and come back with all those guys. So I just like peaced out, and I'm going to go back there when I have more people with me.
Now, I have to say, one of my favorite things for the combat is like equipping one of those like stones to my shield. Especially the like shock one, so that when you're in combat and you're like sort of close quarters with someone, you've got your shield up and you've got your sword in your other hand, you can basically hit A to do the parry, but you can just like whack them with your shield. And if it's got like a freeze like stone or a shock like stone, it'll deal damage to them and like freeze them in place, and then you can just like wail on them for a little while.
I didn't know you could do that.
It's super good. I think Nintendo Life did a video where they were testing out stuff on the shield, and they were like, yeah, you can basically dual wield if you put the right stuff on your shield. And so you've got your shield that you can deal damage with as well, but you can also then use your melee weapon. So that's a nice little combat tip. Fuse stuff to your shield, especially the elemental stuff.
Well, we'll have more to discuss as we continue to play Tears of the Kingdom, but should we briefly talk about what we've been watching and playing?
Yes, because I know you have watched the Super Mario Brothers movie.
I did watch it. It was okay. I don't like how aggressive Donkey Kong was. They were never really friends. Even at the very end, they were kind of two like rivals.
Yeah.
I didn't like how mean he was to Mario. And I also could have done without all that stuff at the beginning where people were all mean to Mario in New York. Like, I don't think we need that. And it seems like he didn't really have an arc. Like, he was always the guy who was never going to give up until there's that part at the very end where he isn't for like 1 second. He's like all beat up and sitting in the restaurant. And he's like, man, maybe I should give up for no reason. And then he sees that commercial and he's like, no, in fact, I'm going to change right now and I'll be that guy again. And then everything works out. But I don't know. Those are my two complaints.
The character arc is he starts off and like, you know, he's good-willed and he tries hard, but he and his brother often like mess up and fail.
Mm-hmm.
And so even his family thinks of them as failures and like kind of nobody believes in them. And then they go down to Mushroom Kingdom and they go through all that stuff and Mario like kind of learns how to be a good Super Mario Brothers player. And then when they have to fight Bowser, weirdly, they have to like suck themselves back into the real world in order for that character arc to actually pay off.
Mm.
In a weird way, this is why I thought it was like really forced that they're like, oh, he bob-ombed the pipe. And that I thought initially, I was like, oh, that's how they end up stuck down here forever.
Yeah, that would have been
great. Going back home. But that's not what they did, because they're like, oh, we need this like family storyline to pay off. And so they instead randomly sucked just the principal cast and Bowser into the real world so that people could witness Mario and Luigi actually being good at something. And so that's how they pay off that sort of character arc for them. But weirdly, also, Luigi is like pretty much absent for like half the movie or more. And so he doesn't really partake in the same, like, let's learn how to do this type of a thing, which I guess maybe you could argue, well, that's why he's supposedly less competent than Mario and Mario is sort of the lead there. But I don't know. There was a lot of like sort of heavy-handed forced things in there to try to make some of the story and character arcs work. They're there. They're just not necessary. They're a little bit clumsy in how they're delivered. But
I just, even when they were in that eel's stomach or whatever, I wanted Mario and Donkey Kong to be like, actually, we're both great. And it almost happened when they were talking about each other's dads. But then that turned into another fight. And even at the very end, they were like still kind of at odds with each other. And I want everyone to be friends. And I don't know why they decided to not do that.
Yeah, I said when we talked about it initially, I didn't really like their characterization of Donkey Kong or Bowser either, just because it felt like they were just those actors. And then they're like, just do your thing. And then we'll like make the animation like wrapped around that. And
also, the after credit scene was Yoshi being born or whatever, but we already saw Yoshi's in the movie. So like, why did they do that? Like, don't have that scene if you're gonna make Yoshi a big thing.
Well, yeah, I know. The next, I feel like it's almost a tease to the next Mario movie, which will probably be like Super Mario World, and maybe he's riding around on Yoshi a lot.
Yeah.
But maybe that's what they're going for. I thought it would have been much more satisfying if, like we had talked about, it had been more of like, you know, an extended universe thing where it was like, here's Samus or Fox Kirby. And Cloud or Kirby, you know, somebody that would have been like, oh, here's an obvious choice for the next Nintendo movie that like sort of makes it seem like all one big universe. And so they can maybe eventually do a Smash Brothers type of a thing. But
I would have even taken like Cappy would be a crazy reveal.
Yeah, that's true.
But Yoshi, I don't know. Maybe it's because I think in the games, Yoshi didn't come out until Mario 2, so maybe that's why. I don't know.
Well, no, it wasn't even Mario 2. It wasn't until Super NES with Super Mario World. So the first three Mario games did not have Yoshi.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, I don't know what they're going for.
But that's my only thing on the playing watching. What about you?
I mean, it's just been Zelda for me. Yeah. All week, so
me as
so
well.
Nothing really else to talk about there. One other thing, not to jump back into Tears of the Kingdom, but have you? So you unlocked all of the Puripad stuff.
Yeah.
Did you go in and look at the hero mode or hero's journey or whatever it's called?
Yeah, I've briefly taken a look at that just to see where I've been.
It's funny because you can hit play on that and it'll like play back. And it basically draws the path that you've taken from the very start of the game. And it will show you everywhere you went and have gone. And that includes every time you fast travel and every time you die. And so I would just like sat there watching it and laughing for a long time. Cause it was like, it does this like sound and you just see a red X every time you die. Like, oh man, I've died a lot more times than I thought I had.
Yeah.
It was really funny to me. So I watched that for longer than I needed to, but do you have an estimate on your hour count?
No, I was gonna look at the time played yet, but I don't know. It's getting up there. I would imagine I'm probably I've got to be pushing 30 hours at this point.
I would guess you're further than that.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I think I looked at mine at one point this last week, and I was at like 60-some hours.
Wow. So, yeah, maybe I'm closer to that. I don't know.
So that was earlier this week. I know I've put more time in since then. But also, I never quite trust my play count hour because I have a tendency to leave it running if I know I'm coming back to it after a while.
Mm, yeah.
So it's always a little bit more inflated than it should be, but still. I've put a lot of time into this game already. I can definitely see myself having well over 100 hours in this game. Before.
Yeah, me too. I need to look back and see how long, because before Tears of the Kingdom came out, I was like, oh, I'll log back into Breath of the Wild and maybe finish up some quests that I had going on. Maybe I'll get some stuff. And everything that I thought I wanted to get, I had already gotten. Because I had just like, I didn't realize how much I played that game. But even with the DLC, I think I would be very curious to see how long I played that game for, which you got to imagine there's going to be Tears of the Kingdom DLC, but I don't know what it could be. Like, it could be something really cool. I'm very excited to see.
Yeah. I actually never did play the DLC for Breath of the Wild.
It was great. But one of them was like okay, but the Trials of the Master Sword was very cool because it was like a, it started you out in a tower at like level zero, and it started you out with nothing. And then every, like, you would get to the end of a level, and then you would go to level two and level three, and you would bring with you everything from the previous one. So by the end of it, if you don't die, you're pretty kitted out for like the top level, which is usually like a Lynel or something. And there's like three tiers. And then every time you do that, the Master Sword gets more durable and more powerful. And so by the end of it, it's like a level 60 sword that almost never goes away. So the reward is really great. But getting there is also super, super fun.
So it's like just a combat trial, basically.
Yeah, well, some of it is stealth. I mean, one of the levels you get to, it's just completely dark, and you don't have a torch or anything, and you have to like track down a torch. And that was really interesting and fun. There's like a Hinox in there, which that's actually a good question. Have you been to Evertide Island yet?
I have not. No,
I haven't either. I wonder what's going on there.
That's true. Like I said, I've put definitely more than 60 hours into this game, and there's so much that I feel like I have still not seen and done.
Yeah, I haven't even touched Zora stuff or Gerudo stuff, so it's
I've only briefly been there to do a shrine so that I had a fast travel point, but I've really not interacted with them at all.
Yeah.
And then, like, I still have a ton more exploration to do down in the depths, and I have more, like, sky islands to go to. Like, it's, and I have, like, a quest log that's full of stuff. Like, yeah. I think it's Hateno Village. There's, like, a whole lot of stuff going on there.
There's a ton of stuff going on there.
Yeah, and I haven't really done any of that yet. So, there's so much to this game. I'm going to be playing it for a good long while still.
Until Starfield comes out.
Well, I will probably finish it before then, but yes, I am excited about Starfield. I'm probably going to play Final Fantasy 16 when that comes out.
Oh, yeah. You have to let me know how that is.
I think it's going to arrive, what is it, late next month?
Yeah, it's in June.
So yeah, I will probably be playing Zelda right up until then, but yeah, I'm pretty excited about that too. And I guess we'll pick up with more Tears of the Kingdom talk next week, I'm sure, because we'll have progressed more and have more things to say about it. But until then, go ahead and follow us at Starside Cafe on Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.